from the Sky News Centre at 7. Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine must be at the negotiating table if there's to be any hopes of a peace deal with Russia. Yesterday, the US president spoke separately to the leaders in both Kiev and Moscow. Donald Trump suggested he'd meet Vladimir Putin in Saudi Arabia to discuss an end to the war, though the UK has also insisted Ukraine must have their say. Our political correspondent Rob Powell explains how Downing Street's handling Mr. Trump's unpredictable nature.
The way the UK government is dealing with it is essentially by restating its own position and not engaging in anything that could resemble criticism of President Trump or the US decisions and policy approach.
Police are investigating what caused the driver of a Mini to ram into a group of trade union demonstrators in Munich this morning. A 24-year-old Afghan asylum seeker has been arrested. It's claimed an inquest ignored agency failures in concluding there's no evidence authorities could have prevented a 12-year-old girl's death. Samina Halliwell died in 2021 after reporting an allegation of rape to police. A coroner says the intent behind her taking an overdose is unknown. Her mum Rachel feels let down.
I'm angry that my daughter's been failed. Samina was failed. And the same thing happening again. Agencies failing time and time again. Our children are falling through the net.
New figures show the UK economy has unexpectedly grown by 0.1% in the last quarter of 2024. Small margins means the risk of a shallow recession remains. Two British citizens have been detained in Iran. State media is reporting they're in custody on security-related charges. And Keely Hodgkinson's attempt to break the world 800-metre indoor record has been put on hold. The Olympic champion has a hamstring injury. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
Hi, I'm Sam Vokes at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Wickham Wanderers Show, a week on from our FA Cup exit up at Preston. A little later on, we'll speak to someone who was there and has also played for Wickham too. First, we'll catch up with Phil. We've got our match briefing in a few moments' time, looking back at what the week's been like at Harlington this week as we build up to Saturday's trip to Crawley. We'll speak to new head coach Mike Dodds as well. And also, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association, well, I've rather hinted at already, Bob Davis is our guest, a former Wanderers defender who played over 200 times for the club, whatever the opposite of following the footsteps is, of the likes of Jack Grimmer, and also, well, others, of course, as well. yeah, I got that following in the footsteps analogy around the wrong way so badly that I couldn't remember anything else, along with Gareth McCleary as well. Anyway... That didn't make any sense, does it? Also, with Wickham Wanderers women, we're following the Chair Girls. Stay prepared to take on Badshot Lee at the weekend. And we'll be speaking to Wickham Wanderers women's winger, Jess Watkins. Lots of W's in that. But first, and probably much more as well in the next hour to bring you to. But first, as always, let's catch up with Phil and find out with... It feels like kind of like a... after the transfer window of January and the new appointment of the head coach as well, this week, of course.
Yeah, it's been incredibly hectic, you know, from a... A new signings point of view, it was a very busy window. Then obviously the change in head coach situation as well, and then a cup game, and so it's been very hectic. But you know, it's good to be busy, and it's good to keep on your toes. But I have to say, yeah, a full week building up to a Saturday 3 o'clock league game is just a ticket this week, and looking forward to it very much to get down to Crawley.
Must be so interesting for yourself as well to speak to some of the new arrivals, not least the playing staff and the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, you know, it's incredibly interesting. You know, you meet new players, and obviously in the season, there's different challenges for players when they come in January. You know, they come in different stages in terms. Now we have the overseas factor as well, and different season timings and other bits. So from a player's point of view, they come in and they need to hit the ground running. And we've got a squad now, so it's been a few more names to get to learn how to pronounce correctly, and other bits and pieces like that. A few more people to get to know. But you know, it's something that's been said for many years here at Wickham, is that the culture is very strong, and it's lovely to see the new faces come in and then assimilate into that culture very, very quickly. And it's great to see that in effect.
And really great to be around what's happening at the training ground in terms of the academy as well. We heard last week about the two first new signings.
Yeah. Look, there's a real buzz about the place. And, you know, this feels like a place that is growing sort of exponentially quickly in terms of the progress that's being made. And obviously from the academy point of view, I think there's this great phrase in sport called unseen hours. But, you know, there's so much going on in the background in terms of infrastructure and planning and getting things ready to get into that Category 4 academy status. You know, so it's super exciting being able to see what's going on and learn about what's going on. And I'm sure when the fans start to see results from it, they'll be equally as excited and delighted as well. You know, we had a great catch up with Jeremy Sauer last week, director of the academy. So he could update the fans on where things are at. And look, from a Wickham fans perspective, I mean, and I count myself in this camp as well. It's hugely exciting to have the academy there again. You know, it's something that Wickham lost in 2012. And, you know, to have that production line being reassembled and in action very, very soon is super exciting, especially when you then align it with what's going on with the first team this season as well and changes around the first team this year and the size of the squad and approach, et cetera, and more importantly, the position we are find ourselves in the table. Yeah, so much going on, so much excitement and a long way to go still as well.
And really interesting for you as well to see how the new head coach is settling in, especially in his first sort of full week and speaking to him after the game at Preston as well.
Yeah, super impressed with Mike in terms of how he deals with the media. You know, I think at Sunderland, it's very much an intensive sort of cauldron-like atmosphere at all times, you know, in terms of press attention. And it's a very different sort of setup here at Wickham in terms of size and that. But, you know, obviously the fans' expectations are there too and other bits. And also, this is a very unique situation, I think, for anyone, really. You know, if you come into a situation where we come on the table in a very busy window and then straight into a cup tie, fourth round cup tie, and now into the cut and thrust of league action. So, you know, but I think, you know, what Mike has shown us in press has been that he's a very calm individual. And yeah, been impressed with him. And yeah, look forward to seeing what kicks on in the league now.
More air fryer than cauldron here, perhaps.
As someone who doesn't own an air fryer, I don't know. I'm not sure if we can continue this kitchen metaphor. But in terms of selecting his ingredients, he has some big decisions to make this weekend.
Especially for a trip to Crawley, who, you know, fans will see it, they're at the foot of the table. But, you know, I think that, like so many times in League One, when we've spoken this season, you know, that's not really a great kind of barometer, if you like, as to how they're doing.
Yeah, this is the time of year where the teams at the bottom of the table almost start to wake up and really sort of realise the desperation of their situation and start stringing results together. You know, we're seeing it at Shrewsbury, and that will come as no surprise to Wickham fans, obviously, that Gareth and Dobbo have got in there and had a real impact. We're seeing it with Burton now, with Gary Bowyer coming in after huge amounts of turnover and change at Burton in the summer in terms of their player count. Crawley have equally had a huge amount of player turnover and also lost their coach and have got a new one. But what they displayed, I think, in the last two games, they lost 4-3 at Bolton. They led that one 3-1. So to come away from that game with nothing would have been hugely dispiriting. And then to play again on a quick turnaround on a Tuesday and then beat Stevenage, who've been in really good form recently, 3-1, I think shows that this team cannot be underestimated. I don't think any team really can in League One. And I think Crawley are the perfect kind of example for describing someone what League One's all about, because you could be down the bottom. I mean, they've taken Birmingham and Wrexham, I think, to single goal defeats. They've been in all of those games against teams at the top. I think the game we had against them at Adams Park was a tough game as well, very early on in the tenure of Rob Elliott. So yeah, look, this is a tough game, very much so. And from a fan's point of view, and someone who goes to games, it's slightly less tough than Preston, because that was a long day, believe you me. And it's slightly closer to home from an away trip is just what we needed after Preston last Saturday.
Because it feels like recently we played a few teams down there, with Cambridge recently and others to come as well, like Wigan, who are down the bottom as well, and a few others. But it's also tight at the top, obviously, as well. And Birmingham playing this week as well, they've opened a bit of a gap as well.
Yeah, look, there's pressure all over the league, isn't there? Because, you know, with the way the playoffs operate now, you can be in sort of 12th, 13th and think you've got a really good platform or realistic chance of having a run into the top six. You've got your teams in the top six and the top two, like Wickham are, and the pressure there is, you know, they want to maintain that position and get up automatically. And then you'd have your teams who are saying that top six was the minimum for us this season. And then there's only four spaces there available outside the top two. And then everyone wants to stay in the division as well. It's, you know, it's not rocket science, is it? You know, everyone needs to be picking up results. And the nearer you get to the end of the season, the more intense that pressure becomes. And we really start to see sort of rogue results going around. You know, when you throw that in the transfer window as well, it's really tough because, you know, teams will go in and do business or change things, or even like outside the window now, players come back from injury and have a real impact as well. So you look for patterns and momentum and form across the season, and hopefully now we can settle into a good sort of couple of months now from a Wigan point of view, where we can get in some real momentum in the league and start to consolidate that position in the top two.
And listening to your chat with Mike after the game on Saturday, obviously he's really looking forward to the first home game, which isn't too far away as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to as I'm sure anyone in the football staff will quite rightly roll out the cliche, we take one game at a time. But, you know, to step back and look at the bigger picture, we've got two home games back to back after Crawley away, you know, which is a huge opportunity for Wickham. And obviously a great moment for Mike on the Tuesday under the lights to lead the team at Adams Park for the first time. And that'll be a special moment for him. And hopefully the team step up, and it's a great result and a great occasion. But look, there's a lot of big games coming up now, and it's going to come thick and fast until we get to May. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the weather perking up as well as these games tick by, because I'm not sure about everyone else, but I've had enough of winter now.
I think it'll still be quite chilly on Saturday.
That's a given, Colin. I can't tell you anything else about Saturday at all. I've got no idea how this one's going to roll. I'm looking forward to it immensely, but yeah, I can safely say it will be cold.
Brilliant to speak to you. Stay warm and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Will do. Cheers, Colin.
Great pleasure to chat to you. Phil, as always, he'll be bringing you live commentary from Crawley here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV. Kickoff is, of course, at 3 o'clock. Some other news from the club and the EFL and the world of broadcasting as well. And the much-anticipated League One fixture against Wrexham has not been selected for TV broadcast and therefore remains a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, the 15th of March at Adams Park. Tickets will go on sale in the coming days, the club have said. So if you're trying to get your tickets for the Wrexham game, it will be on the 15th of March. It hasn't been included in the TV games. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock. There's quite a few big games coming up. I think it's 4 out of 6. The next 6 will be against teams in the lower half of the table. So we've got some big games coming up, including, as mentioned, Crawley away on Saturday, and then home game on Tuesday, and then another home game the following Saturday as well. You can check out the club website for more details on that. Part 2 of the Wickham Wanderers Show on the way.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound. The Wickham Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Part 2 of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show still to come. We'll speak to new head coach Mike Dodds. We'll also catch up with Wickham Wanderers women's winger Jess Watkins. No, really. As they build up to their next game as well. But first, with thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, very pleased to welcome to the show someone who was at the Preston game on Saturday, but perhaps with split loyalties, as not only have they played for Wickham, but also scored a goal in the FA Cup, but are also a Preston fan as well. Former defender Bob Davis joins us. Thank you so much indeed. Great to chat to you.
And it's good to chat to you, Colin.
So, yes, perhaps for people that don't know, you're actually in the Preston area currently.
Well, I live in Yorkshire now, so not quite in the Preston area, but certainly a lot nearer to Preston than I was when I was living in Wickham. But, I've been a Preston supporter all my life, and I do get over to the Preston games occasionally. I don't have a season ticket anymore, but I do get over as often as I can.
So what was your thought when the two teams were drawn in the fourth round?
It was fantastic. I was sat watching the door, and the wife said to me, "Who do you want?" And I said, "Well, either Man City, Liverpool, Man United, or Wickham Wanderers." And so when the balls came out of the hat, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was brilliant.
And what was your thoughts on the game?
It was very cold. It was not a particularly exciting game of football, I have to say. And so in footballing terms, it's not one that will live long in the memory. But for me, it was just a great occasion anyway. So, looking at it from a Wickham perspective, losing on penalties is an unlucky way to lose, isn't it? And I'm sure the Wickham fans and the Wickham players were very, very disappointed. But I thought they put up a terrific show. You just got to look. Preston went to Norwich on Tuesday night, won away at Norwich. So for Wickham to come and up to Preston and play as well as they did and hold out for as long as they did was a great effort.
It's really encouraging, especially having been in the Championship for a season, but hopefully looking to get back there. And it must give them great confidence as well going into the remainder of the season that they can go toe-to-toe with the Championship side.
Absolutely. I mean, they more than held their own. I mean, Preston really struggled to break them down. I mean, Wickham were very, very well organised. They worked tremendously hard. And the longer the game went on, the longer it looked like it was going to finish 0-0. And so they must take great confidence and encouragement from their performance that day. Because as you say, Preston are a well-established Championship side now, and to go toe-to-toe with them, as they did, was very encouraging.
And Preston going the right way in the Championship now as well?
They are, yeah, but they had a very poor start. I mean, the bottom three for quite a long time. They had a bizarre situation at the start of the season where the manager, Ryan Lowe, left after the first game, believe it or not. And so the current management team, Paul Heddingbottom and Stuart McCall, they came in after a couple of games, and they've done a terrific job. I think they've really established themselves. Preston have become much more consistent and are moving up the table slowly. I mean, they're still in 15th place, but look, after Tuesday night's win at Norwich, they're only 5 points off the playoffs, so they're doing okay at the moment.
No, absolutely. And you spent some time at Deepdale yourself as a schoolboy?
Yeah, as a schoolboy, I used to go training there on Wednesday evenings. There was an old cinder pitch outside the ground, and used to go training there. But that didn't last too long. But for a couple of years I was there, but it didn't lead to anything as far as Preston was concerned.
And then you made several appearances for Burnley as well.
Yeah, when I was 17, 18, I used to go training with them, I played in the reserves. So I've actually played at Turf Moor, but sadly I've never ever played at Deepdale. That's a big regret. I never got to play at Deepdale. but I did play at Turf Moor. So I had a bit of experience there. And Preston played Burnley on Saturday, so that's another interesting one for me.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's great to have those kind of split loyalties, I guess, but in a way it must make it a bit uncomfortable for you as well.
Well, in a way, like I say, on Saturday it was great for me because it was a win-win situation, wasn't it? Whoever came out on top, I was going to be happy for them. Had it been Wickham, I'd have been delighted for them. It was Preston, so I was pleased for them.
No, absolutely.
It was a win-win.
And brilliant that you captained the British Universities side as well, which had a bit of an international flavour to it as well.
Yeah, I was lucky enough. I did my teacher training over here in Leeds, actually. I was at Carnegie College, and then when I was at college, I got picked for the British Colleges team and the British Universities team. We played in the World Student Games competition in France, and then as a result of that, got selected for an FA 11, which was a representative game, and it was during that game that I managed to share a dressing room and share the pitch with a certain Bobby Charlton and Nobby Styles.
Oh, that must have been fantastic, especially to talk about for years to come as well.
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, with their Preston connections, not apart from what they did for Man United and England, but they had a Preston connection as well. So that was a very special day for me.
So how did you end up coming to Wickham?
Howard Kennedy, who I was good friends with Howard at college in Leeds, and Howard left college a couple of years before I did, and obviously we kept in touch. And then when I finished at college, Howard said, basically, where are you looking for a job, a teaching job? And he said, why don't you come and try and find a job down here and we'll see if we can get fixed up with Wickham. So as bizarrely as it seems, that's how I ended up coming down to Wickham, because of Howard Kennedy.
Oh, that's fantastic. Does it seem like a long time ago? Because it's almost 50 years, isn't it?
It is, yeah. 76 I came down. In a way, it seems a long time ago, but in another way, it doesn't. It's bizarre, isn't it, how you look back on your life, and some things seem to be a long, long time ago, but that doesn't. And, you know, whenever I see anything about Wickham and about the area, it just brings back lots and lots of very happy memories that I have.
So what were your first impressions of the club and the town as well?
Oh, I mean, it's just a brilliant club, isn't it? Wickham, you know, as a non-league club then, as it was just well-renowned for being a very, very well-run club, a very professional club. And I couldn't have wished to join a better club at that level. I mean, at the time, I was living in Aylesbury. I didn't live in Wickham. I lived in Aylesbury, but I worked in Wickham because I used to teach at Benchwood School in Downley, which Benchwood School is no longer there, but I spent 12 years teaching in Downley, so I was travelling to Wickham every day, and so got to know a lot of people in the Wickham area, and always loved the area. And who knows, there may be one or two ex-pupils from Benchwood School in Downley who were there between 77 and 1989 who might actually remember me, who knows.
I should think so. People often remember their teachers, don't they?
They do, yeah.
So, sometimes fondly, sometimes not so much. Do you remember your debut?
I think the first game I played was a friendly game. I think we played Wimbledon at home, if I remember rightly, in a pre-season friendly. I think that was the first one. Because I seem to remember that Kenny Sampson was playing and Dave Bassett, I think they were playing for Wimbledon at the time. I can't remember my first league game, I must admit, I can't. But, yeah, I had some very happy memories, yeah.
It's strange when you think about it, isn't it? Someone rings you up and says, can you chat about stuff from 50 years ago? And you just... okay. Yeah, but so much has happened to you, and I guess you were part of a very successful team in that time as well, both in the Cup and in the league.
Yeah, we did well. But disappointingly, in the time that I was there, we didn't manage to win the league, what was the Isthmian League then. We finished runners-up a couple of times. And I think my biggest disappointment with Wickham was what would turn out to be my last season. We got to the semi-final of the FA Trophy, two-legged affair against Altrincham. Managed a 1-1 draw away at Altrincham in the first leg, but then, unfortunately, we lost the second leg, so we missed out on a Wembley trip. And that was a huge, huge blow. That was that would have been a fantastic way to end the season, and as it turned out, to end my time at Wickham.
And we mentioned in the introduction your FA Cup goal exploits. You should tell us about that.
Well, as a defender, I didn't score many goals, but I remember for that one we were playing Worcester City. It was an FA Cup replay for qualifying round, I think, and I was told that if we had a corner, I was going to go up and go up and try and cause a bit of mayhem in the box. And I can't remember, somebody knocked a cross in from the corner, and I managed to get there just in front of the Worcester City keeper and headed it in, and it turned out to be the one and only goal of the night. So that took us through to the second round.
Absolutely, that was a very exciting time.
It was, yeah, it was brilliant. And I may be wrong on this, but I've got a feeling that took us through to play against Reading in the second round, which obviously is a little bit of a local derby.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we referred to you as well as a defender, but not just any defender.
maybe you're referring to the fact that I used to enjoy throwing myself around in training as a goalkeeper, and I ended up in goals for a couple of matches. Is that what you're referring to, Colin?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure, yeah. John Maskell was very, very pleased to hear that as well.
A couple of times I had to step in. One, I think it was Mast that got injured in a game, and it was a league game at home at Lokes Park, and he got injured, so I went in during the game. But there was another one. It was a Tuesday night away game, and I remember it well. We were playing Staines away on Tuesday night, and I can't remember whether it was John Maskell or it might have been Pete Spittle was due to play, and they got injured at work. And so when I turned up at Lokes Park to get on the coach, manager came up and said, "You're wearing the gloves tonight." I thought he was joking, obviously, but it turns out I ended up playing the whole game in goal. And I have to say, Colin, it was the longest 90 minutes I've ever played. Yeah.
Were you called into action much?
Too much, yeah. I can't honestly remember the score. I think we lost 2-1 or something like that. It was a fairly close game, but I just remember it, the game just seemed to go on and on and on. And the other thing I remember was that they had a huge centre-forward. He was about 6'7", 6'8". And they just used to lump the ball up to him. And, of course, with me in goal, knowing I wasn't a proper keeper, they just did it even more. So I took a bit of a battering, really. But hey-ho, it was my fault for throwing myself around in training, pretending to be a goalkeeper.
So your versatility has got the better of you. But also, of course, you didn't get to play in your preferred position that much because of Paul Birdseye's sort of form, of course. So you had to be quite versatile in which defensive area you occupied as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think I was fairly two-footed, but I was definitely a right-sided, right, and right foot was a stronger foot. And when I came down to Wickham, I knew that Paul was an established defender, so I actually played most of my time at left-back, which was a little bit frustrating because I knew I could do better on the other side. And then a little bit later on in my Wickham career, I moved into the middle and played quite a bit at centre-back, which I enjoyed. I was quite comfortable there and quite enjoyed it there, so... Yeah, I could play anywhere across the back line, but I'd say it was football and I'd have played anywhere. I didn't mind where I played, really. Although, I do keep telling Paul Birdseye that, he stopped me getting more goals, more crosses, because he was on the right side.
And of course, you played with some great names during your time at the club and special relationships with players in the dressing room as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Look back on some of the players. I mean, John Maskell, Pete Spittle, Paul Birdseye, I just mentioned, Keith Mead, Alan Phillips. I mean, my great friend, Howard Kennedy, bless him. Mickey Holyfield was in there. Of course, the first couple of years I was there, Bodger was still playing up front. They're legends, aren't they? In Wickham terms. An interesting fact is that when I was at Downley, at Brentford at Downley, I used to teach Bodger's children. They came to the school. That was a nice connection.
No, fantastic, definitely. That must have been excellent. And also, I guess, you couldn't have imagined that you'd be making over 200 appearances for the club.
No, definitely not. I mean, when you join the club, you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how long you're going to be there. And you just keep taking it game by game, season by season. And... yeah, I was very, very proud to rack up over 200 appearances. Very, very proud to represent Wickham so many times. And, having done that, you certainly build up an affinity with the club and with the town, as you said earlier. And, it's a club that I will always hold very dear to my heart. And I always look for their results and see how they're doing. And whenever I get any, correspondence or connections with anybody, it's always very, very pleasing. And for example, I've been in touch online with George Borg, who I used to play with at Wickham. I've noticed a comment that he put on, I think John Taylor's put something on Facebook, and George had made a comment, and we've been in contact through that, which talking to somebody like George Borg is brilliant.
No, absolutely. It's so nice to... Well, we've spoken to so many ex-players from different generations, but it's so fantastic to kind of be able to reconnect, even after such a long period of time, and it must just feel like, you're back in the dressing room again.
It does. Yeah, it does. A great example of that, and it was a very, very sad occasion, but, sadly, after Howard Kennedy had died, I came down for his funeral, and, of course, lots of ex-teammates were there. And at one point, it was myself, John Maskell, Paul Birdseye, Keith Mead, Alan Phillips, and myself. And we stood there in the same formation that we played in for many, many games. And we just talked about about some of the games that we played in. And, yeah, it was very special memories, very special.
I don't want to keep on about how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. But it's fantastic that you, I guess not many other kind of professions can really do that, and football is great for that.
It is indeed, yeah. I mean, it's a sport, and, you know, you're playing it for the sport, but it's perhaps only when you look back on your career and look at what you've got out of your career and out of playing football that you really, really appreciate a lot of the friendships and connections that you've had, whether it be with individual people or just in with the club, you know, in general. And, you know, I'm very, very proud and very honoured to have got so many connections still with Wickham. And that's why it was so special for me on Saturday. You know, the team I love playing for, and playing against the team that I've always supported ever since I was a young lad.
I mean, especially watching them like that, did you feel that, you know, even at the time, during the game, that you know, you were part of the kind of foundation, if you like, of where they've got to today?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, when I speak to people and, you know, and if they sort of find out I've used to play for Wickham, and you talk about where Wickham were then and where they are now, and, you know, they say, what's it like to feel as if you're a part of the history? I said, it makes you feel very, very proud. I mean, at the time, you don't realise just what part you are playing in the club's history, but it's only when you look back and see where they are now, which is amazing, isn't it? It's to think where they've progressed to and hopefully get back to it. They can get promotion again this year. It does, it makes you feel very, very proud and honoured.
And really nice to obviously reflect and look back on the players you played with, but also the managers you played under as well.
Yes, I mean, it was Brian Lee that took me down to Wickham, but Brian just retired then, and so my first season there was under Ted Powell. And I really, really enjoyed playing with Ted. I thought it was a fantastic man. I thought it was a great man manager and a very, very good coach. And I was very sorry when Ted left, because I think he left after the first season. And then it was a variety of managers after that. John Reardon took over for a short time, Andy Williams, and then of course Mike Keane came in. And I mean, Mike was, again, you know, he was a bit of a legend, wasn't he, as a player, and he was superb as a coach and as a manager, because he'd been there and done it himself. So Mike certainly knew what he was talking about, and I really enjoyed playing under Mike.
Because I imagine, you know, those names you mentioned, they're all kind of different in their approach and have different ways of working with the players.
Definitely, yeah. And as a player, you sort of take to some managers more than others. Some you think maybe you could do better under. And yeah, I mean, everybody has their own idiosyncrasies, but every manager's got their strengths. And you look back on time with certain managers and think, well, maybe we could have done things differently. But yeah, and I enjoyed working under all of them, but certainly Ted Powell initially, and then Mike Keane at the end of the career. They, you know, I really, really enjoyed working with them.
So, what was it like combining your day job with the football, especially I guess the travel for away games?
Yeah, that was difficult. You know, as a PE teacher, whilst I was young then, I had a lot more energy than I do now. It was a very physical job, and so, you know, I could spend, you know, hours out on the sports fields or on the cross-country runs or in the gym or the sports hall or whatever. And then to go training on a Tuesday night, or go to a match on a Tuesday night, training Thursday and then match Saturday. It was very demanding, I have to say. But it was good. I wouldn't have swapped it for the world. I loved it. I was in a good career. I had a good career as a teacher, and I was playing football for a great football club, so I had the best of both worlds, really.
And are there any other sort of matches or occasions that really stand out for you during your time at the club?
I think the Reading game that I mentioned earlier, I think that followed on from our Worcester City game. It was, you know, a local derby, really, with Reading. I know there are more local derbies, but there was a big crowd on for that day. And unfortunately, we just came up a little bit short. From a personal point of view, I remember scoring another of my very few goals late on in the season. I think we needed to win to make sure we kept in touch with Enfield at the top of the league. And I think we managed a last-minute winner against Walthamstow away. And I managed to get on the end of that one. So at that time, we thought that kept us in the running for the league title. Unfortunately, they picked us at the end. But and another game, it's a bit of a... it probably wasn't the best game we've ever played, but I remember playing away at Sutton United. And the game finished 5-4. And I remember halfway through the second half when a goal went in. I can't remember whether it was for us or for them. I remember turning to Alan Phillips and saying, "Alan, what's the score? I've lost the score. I don't know whether we're winning or losing or drawing. The goals are going in so often, so quickly." That's another one that I remember. Many games that I look back and enjoyed.
It's fantastic to be able to reflect on it. And as we touched on earlier, you know, the likes of Gareth McCleary and Jack Grimmer, the captain, have played over 200 games now. But it's a fantastic achievement, isn't it, for any, you know, footballer to play that many games for a club?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's a two-way street, isn't it, that? I mean, you know, to give a commitment to a club and for a club to give a commitment to a player. But, to get over that, to achieve that number of games, I think is a real milestone for players. And, you know, players move around a lot, don't they, these days? I mean, it's a totally different game now from what it was when I was playing, but money talks a lot, doesn't it? And, some players will move for money, but some players enjoy being at a club and will stay at the club. And we talked about Bodger, didn't we, earlier, Bodger Horseman and John Maskell. I mean, goodness me, how many games did they play for their home clubs? It's fantastic. It's, it is a huge game. You may not be aware of this, Colin, but at Saturday's game at Preston, there were a couple of firsts. Ooh. That you may not be aware of. It was the first time that a number 50 has ever been worn on a team shirt in a game at Deedale.
Oh.
Yeah, and Will Norris, the Wickham keeper, is wearing number 50. So when I saw the programme and I saw this list of players and it went down to number 50, I checked with my friend Martin, who's the club historian and statistician, and I said, "Have we ever had a number 50 before?" And they haven't. And it was the first FA Cup penalty shootout ever at Deedale.
Oh, wow.
Of course, these penalty shootouts have only come in recently, haven't they? So, bearing in mind, Preston was founded in 1880, so it's been around for 145 years. There were a couple of firsts in the game on Saturday.
And you were there.
And I was there.
So I'm assuming it wasn't the money that led to your departure from the club either. You weren't tempted away by a big signing.
I wasn't tempted away, no. It was a number of factors, Colin. I was doing well in my career, and I knew that the conflict you talked earlier about balancing the career and the playing side, it was getting more and more difficult to do that. We had a young family, and obviously, you know, time at work, time playing football. Family time wasn't all that it should have been. And losing to Altrincham was a big factor. I have to say, losing that game was a big, big blow to me. And I had picked up what was a very niggly ankle injury, and it was probably going to need surgery to get it right. And so there were a number of factors that came to play, and I thought, maybe now is the time to call it a day and move on to other things, which I think, you know, looking back, I think maybe, and as well, I know definitely I probably could have carried on for a few more years, but I thought the time was right and I made the decision, and you live with it, don't you?
And sport still plays a big part in your family as well.
It does, yeah. Well, you know, once I'd stopped playing football, I played more sports myself, other sports. I played a lot of cricket and tennis and squash and golf, and my two sons are both qualified golf professionals. So, because I used to play a lot of golf, got them involved in golf, and they've made careers out of it. So, yeah, it's sport's always been a part of my life, and hopefully always will be.
No, absolutely. And as we touched on, it's really nice for you to be able to reflect on your time at the club, and overall, how do you sort of look back on those days?
Very, very fondly. Very, very fondly indeed. And, you know, I hope if there's anybody listening to this programme who, you know, supports Wickham, I hope you really appreciate the club that you've got down there, and will continue to support them. I look back with very, very fond memories. Yeah, it's, it was a great time, and I do look back very fondly. And I, you know, I really do hope that they can carry on this season. And, you know, what is it, 16, 17 games to go, Colin, is it?
That's right, yes.
I know Birmingham might be pulling away a little bit, but I just hope that Wickham can stay in there and get back up into the Championship and come up to Deepdale again next year.
No, it's a really exciting time for the club, and great to see them doing so well, and the structure that's being put in place with the academy as well, and that's obviously something you advocate as well, and brilliant that, you know, in both your kind of professions, if you like, both with football and teaching, you've got, you know, people that remember that you've taught them, but also remember watching you play as well, and really nice for them to have enjoyed your career as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Yes, I hope so. And a couple of other players that have come to mind since we were talking earlier. I mentioned about Bodger's children there. John Delaney's son was at school as well. I taught young John Delaney Jr. Martin Smith, an ex-Wickham player, he was one of the pupils at Brentwood. And whilst he wasn't one of the pupils at my school, Kevin Keane, Mike's son, he was involved with the Wickham schoolboys team that won the English Schools Trophy. He was around at that time. So, and we all know what sort of a career Kevin went on to have. So lots of connections there.
Yeah, real pride as well, I guess, as a teacher as well, to watch students go on and develop and do well in their futures as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you take great pride in that. You know, you watch them come into school, maybe as a 12, 13-year-old, and you see some with potential, then for some reason, some don't always reach their potential, and others do. It's a combination of having the talent, but also having the right attitude as well. And, you know, I look at some of the schoolboys that I used to coach, because I used to coach the Wickham and District schoolboys team and the Bucks County teams as well. And I used to look at some of the players we had in the team. I thought, wow, these could go on to become really, really good players. But for various reasons, you know, they didn't. And, you know, one or two players you thought, well, they're maybe just ordinary players. They go on to have a career in professional football or some other sport. So, and when you do see that, it's very, very pleasing and satisfying to think that you might have played some part in their career.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you again, and fantastic to share your memories. And nice for you that you've got Preston and Burnley in the cup as well.
Preston Burnley, I'm looking forward to it. I just want to wish Wickham and all the fans every success for the rest of the season, and hope to see them in the Championship next year. It's been a pleasure talking to you as always, Colin.
Likewise, thank you so much indeed for your time. Brilliant to catch up with Bob Davis, former defender and occasional goalkeeper, speaking to us here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Final part of the Wickham Wanderer show for this week. Still to come, we'll catch up with men's head coach Mike Dodds on his first full proper week. It must be very different, mustn't it, this week to last week. We'll find out his thoughts and look ahead to Saturday's trip to Crawley as well. Let's briefly turn our attention to Wickham Wanderers women, who return to action this weekend, a busy weekend for the Chair Girls. Their under-18s are at home to Oxford United's under-18s on Saturday, and then on Sunday Chesham United's development team play host to Wickham Wanderers women's devs, and then Badshot Lee is Wickham's opponents on Sunday afternoon. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff away. Brilliant to speak to, when we last caught up with her, she was a comparatively new signing, but Jess Watkins, well into her first season at Wickham Wanderers now, and getting plenty of goals, and these are her thoughts.
Yeah, I think the season's gone really well. I'm really enjoying playing, and I think we're making some good progress.
And obviously you're making some great contributions personally with your goals as well.
Yeah, I'm enjoying scoring, and that's always good to get a few goals.
Are there any kind of particular games or occasions that really stand out for you so far?
I liked when we were in the FA Cup and we had some photographers down and stuff, because me and some of the girls had pre-prepared celebrations and we could do them in front of the camera, and obviously we won by quite a few goals, so that was fun.
And fantastic as well that, you know, you've come up against some top teams in the league so far with Ascot. Obviously the most recent game against them didn't go quite to plan, but a brilliant performance against Woodley especially.
Yeah, I think with the Ascot one, it was just that it was wrong team, wrong timing. If we had played them a bit further on after Christmas, if we had had maybe a couple games before them, I think the result probably would have been different. But, you know, it is what it is with that. We couldn't really change when it was. So, but unfortunate, but I think, yeah, as you said, we bounced back against Woodley and we've played some good games since, so it's okay.
And what you enjoy most about the team, because I guess there's such great kind of positives from the team, especially not least the creativity and the goals that are being scored as well.
I like, obviously I've come down a couple of levels, so I'm enjoying being creative a bit more. As I'm a winger, I like to do skills and things, and this league gives me the opportunity to try out new skills and stuff like that. And also I really get on with the girls, so it's fun basically playing with your friends as well.
Is that really nice for you as well, to kind of be able to, you know, help others at a different level as well, and from your experience?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got a lot of the younger girls coming through, so we've got quite a full squad of, you know, different ages and different experiences as well. So I think it makes a really rounded team. We work well together. It's really great.
And also the team's near the top too. It's so tight at the top, isn't it? And you know, it's important not to be dropping points at this stage, which is something that you don't appear to be doing.
No, and I don't think we will. I think, you know, our aim was to be up there this season. And I think, although we might not get top now, but we will get second place, and I'm pretty sure of that. Like, that's what we all want in our heads. That's what we're working towards, and we don't want to drop any points since Ascot, basically.
It's such a great advert for how far the team has come, especially, you know, last season, you know, we were sort of battling near the kind of lower half of the table, and now, as you say, looking like getting second spot.
Yeah, I think that's what, like, Wickham Women and Carr wanted to do this season, like bringing some different players, and obviously, as I said, have a more rounded team with different experiences and stuff, and I think that's what's happened this season. And, yeah, hopefully we can get that second spot.
And there seems some really nice symmetry with the men's team as well, which I know you and a number of other the players have been along to support as well, and with them second in the table and you second in your table as well.
Yeah, we went to go watch one of their cup games, and that was really good to go and support the men's team. And, yeah, as you said, they're doing really well as well. We're both second in the league. We're hoping to get second in the league. And they're second at the moment, so that would be great if we could both finish in the top two.
No, absolutely, and I think many people especially have sympathy with you. It was quite cold that day, and some of your training and games have been quite chilly as well recently.
Oh yeah, really cold. Games cooled off midway through the match and stuff like that, which isn't nice, but with that game we came back and they tried to make it difficult for us by not letting us play on our pitch and wanting to play on their pitch, which was called off again and stuff, but we still won the game. And yeah, we proved that we're not going to give in to stuff like that.
No, definitely. And Badgley on Sunday, which again a team that you'll be looking to score plenty against, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, they're sitting at the bottom of the table at the moment, so this could be a good opportunity to hopefully rack up some goals if possible. But yeah, we'll see. I take every game as it comes, and yeah, I don't want to be too optimistic because every game is serious. And yeah,
no, of course. But I think also that the club is so grateful as well to have your contribution, and you've been a great signing, you know, this season, and not only, you know, the goals and the flair that you've brought to the wing, but also obviously the interest in your kind of social media following in the club as well.
Yeah, no, the club's been really supportive of both, like, on and off the pitch with my work, and yeah, I really appreciate that with Wickham.
And do you have any kind of personal goals yourself that you'd like to achieve for the remainder of the season?
Well, I did want to be top three goal scorers of the whole league, but I don't know why they do this, but they count the cup goals. So Winchester Flyers won 27-0 against a really low team, so obviously a lot of the girls racked up some goals, so now I'm sitting, I think, at about six, so I need to somehow get back in. But yeah, we'll still see. That's still my aim. That's what I said at the beginning of the season, so I mean, hopefully I can score a few more goals.
No, absolutely. Oh, it's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much, Lee, for your time, and all the best for Sunday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for this. It's good to chat again.
Brilliant catching up with Jess Watkins again, who's got a few more goals to
to get back with Winchester Flyers scoring 27 and not conceding any. That'll do there. It was in the cup, wasn't it? So it's not like a goal difference to be affected. But I wish the Jaguars all the best for their upcoming games, and we'll be continuing to follow them here on the Wickham Wanderer Show. Let's get back to focusing on the men, though. Second in League One, as we've mentioned, Birmingham City played one of their games in hand. They've still got a game in hand over Wickham as well, but they're currently on 66 points. Wickham on 59, so trailing by 7. And Wickham, of course, have got a bit of a cushion on Wrexham and have played the same number of games as well. Got 4 points ahead of them and still tight with those teams in the playoffs as well, with Huddersfield, Charlton and Stockport making up the rest of the top six. Saturday's opponents, though, Crawley Town, they're playing well, but they've had a bit of a poor run. They're only on 27 points, along with Shrewsbury, who Gareth Ainsworth and Richard Dobson, that Phil mentioned earlier in the show, are really making good strides there. They've won two and drawn one in midweek as well. But Crawley down the bottom, they're in the relegation zone, currently third from bottom, and they provide Wickham's next opponents on Saturday. We've been speaking to the new head coach, Mike Dodds, ahead of that. Obviously, when we spoke to him last week, it was his first game in charge up at Preston after only taking over that week. So this week, as you can imagine, has been a little different for him.
It's been less chaotic, that's for sure. It was nice to obviously do what I'm very comfortable at, which is being on the grass with the players. So yeah, we've had a good week. We've got to know each other a little bit more. So obviously still getting to know each other. But yeah, it's been a really good week.
Obviously, you spoke after your post-match comments from the Preston game, saying how much you've sort of learned from that. And I guess this has been one sort of step up from that, or perhaps even more, what you've learned about the group.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I'll continue to learn about the group over the coming games. And I think it's not a one-way process. They've got to learn about me as well. So it's not me learning about the group. I think it's a two-way process. They've got to learn about me. As I said, there's not a huge amount that I want to change, but I also want to try and put my personality on the role, you know. And I do feel there's one or two things that we can be a little bit tighter with, which obviously we've worked on this week.
Has it made it more interesting in a way that there have been so many sort of new arrivals in January, and obviously sort of yourself being one of those as well?
Yeah, I'm really conscious of that as well. I don't want the players to feel like it's like a mini pre-season all over again, where it's like new signings and people have been away and all those types of things. I'm really conscious of that. So, you know, I think it was really important, myself and obviously the guys that were currently in place, that we kept a bit of stability. And that isn't going to happen just in a week. That's going to be the next 2 or 3 weeks, that we just keep a real stable foundations to what we've been doing. And I think that in itself is good coaching, not just coming in and trying to do what you feel is best. It's actually what is best for the group. And that's been really my focus for the first week, and it will continue to be my focus for the next few weeks. You know, what is best for the group? What have they done previously? What do they like? And to try and enhance those moments when we're on the grass.
And has it sort of helped with your preparations in that, you know, to start with, you just had a cup game, but now this is your kind of first league game and you've had a week to build up to that as well?
Yeah, to a degree, but obviously the game's the most important part. And I think you learn more about the players in the games, because that's where the chaos is and that's where the pressure is. So you can do as much work as you want on the training pitch, but until it gets to the game, you don't really have a real true reflection of where we are as a group. Look, we're second in the league and they've done extremely well and the performances have been good. So like I said, and I keep reiterating this point, it's not trying to change anything dramatically. It's trying to impose some little bits here and there. What those bits are, I'm still trying to figure out. But yeah, the group's in a good place. We're in a good spot.
And as you mentioned on Saturday, so many positives to take into this game at Crawley on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm glad people thought that, because that was my opinion. But as is football, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And sometimes the things that I might think are positives, the Wickham fans might not completely agree on, and vice versa. So I'm glad there is an alignment with that. I was pleased with a lot of things, and as always, there's some things that I feel we can be a little bit better with that might not be addressed right now, but things that are part as we develop, our relationship, they're things for the future that can get enhanced.
And are there certain things you'd like to see on Saturday that perhaps you saw at Preston and you'd like to see replicated at Crawley?
Yeah, I felt, in particular, I thought our out-of-possession stuff was excellent. I felt we limited a very, I would say, strong championship team to very little. who have a huge amount of quality, and I felt we controlled, although we didn't control the ball, I felt for large parts of the game, we controlled the game. They're two very different things. So, you know, I would like a similar type of field, like to try and have a level of control in the game. Crawley, obviously, a very high possession-based football team. I think the games that I've watched, they have been a little bit more direct, I think, in probably recent games. And when I say direct, you know, they try and get the ball into the front man a little bit quicker than maybe what they have earlier in the season. So it have a similar type of feel. Ultimately, we're really looking forward to the game, obviously. Points are really important from now to the end of the season. One thing I was really keen to stress to the players, you know, the game, you know, promotion is not going to be won and lost this weekend. And we've got to be really stable over the next kind of 17 games because there's going to be lots of emotion. There's going to be plenty of ups. There's going to be plenty of downs. But we've got to stay focused on what we want to try and do.
And do you feel like the team's in a good place, especially on quite a decent unbeaten run at the moment in the last four games?
Yeah, yeah. Are we counting Saturday is a defeat, or we count as a draw?
League games, I guess. Yeah,
games. yeah, look, they're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. Look, we've got a big squad, so there's a little bit of a headache there in terms of decisions. But you know, it's a good headache to have. I'd rather have too many options than not enough options. But yeah, generally they're in really, really good shape. The spirits are really, really high. I think we've had a good week's training. I think they're getting to know me a little bit better. I'm getting to know them a little bit better. So, yeah, all steam ahead for the next 17 games.
Real pleasure chatting to Mike Dodds, and wish him and the team all the best for Saturday. If it's a game finishes 0-0, do you think you can still count that as a draw, even though you lose on penalties? No, but four games unbeaten in League One going into the resumption of the league campaign. Crawley Town, of course, making up the opposition on Saturday. You'll be able to hear the whole game live here, 3 o'clock kickoff on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV. And then, as mentioned a little earlier on, it'll be Mike Dodds' first game in charge at Adams Park with the visit of Bristol Rovers. It's a rearranged fixture, of course. That kicks off at 7:45 on Tuesday. That's the 18th of February. And then another home game the following Saturday as well, with Wigan Athletic, the visitors, another strugglers, of course, who will be coming. And then a big march in prospect for the team as well, including taking on the likes of Birmingham City away. We've got Wrexham at home, of course, a trip to Peterborough in March as well. And as we mentioned a short while ago, the Saturday game, the visit of Wrexham remains a 3 o'clock kickoff because that hasn't been chosen for TV. At Birmingham on Saturday the 1st of March, that's at 12:30. And if you're planning to go to the Burton Albion game as well on Tuesday the 4th of March, that's an 8 o'clock kickoff. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Brilliant to have Bob on as well. And thank you to all my guests. And hopefully you can join us at the same time next week for another Wickham Wanderer show here on Wickham Sound. Have a great week.